Well, good morning, CTK. Good to have you here. If you're a guest with us today, it's a privilege to have you here and to share with you today. I know for me, it's a joy to have my parents with me on the front row today. Dad had a little procedures done this week, and my mom's with me. We welcome you. And Dad's been a pastor for, what, 70 years or so? At least. It's good to have them. And the Dahmers, 50 years of wedding anniversary. Shout out to them. Occasionally I see some things on Facebook, but if you post them out there and I see them, I love to call them out. But 50 years, that's pretty awesome testimony. Way to go, guys. Good to have you here. But what a joy. You know, the month of February we call Love Month, and it's the month of February that we really think about how do we propel this ministry that God has called us to do forward. And how do the love out of our hearts for a desire for our community, for people who don't know Jesus, to know Jesus. And it's a time by which we think about generosity, we think about pledging, and how do we put God first so the impact that he has for us through this church can be strong and incredible as we move forward. So it's a neat time today. Right after the message, we'll have some time to share in our pledging, to bring those pledge cards forward, and we'll chat a little bit more about that. As we go through the service. If you're new with us today, it is great to have you here. It's a gift. It's because of the generosity of people in this church that we exist, that we show up each day, and that we counsel and we help people in the community and missions around the world, and that we offer worships that we get to come to be a part of and center ourselves back on God. It's a gift, and that gift is for you as a gift today. We're thinking about, as Michelle mentioned, in this series called Missional Clarity. And we came up with a definition of what that looks like in week one, early January, and we said this: it's seeing clearly how your life and my life is lived in this world for God's purposes. So at the end of the day, what we want to think about is if you said, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I'm following him, God's put you on the earth for a reason and for a purpose, and he has plans for you, and these plans are good, and it's a part of something not just that is earthly, but something that is eternal forever. And we talked about the early conversations that he had with the disciples. And with Nathanael, here's a verse that we wanted to keep bringing out. With Nathanael, he said, this is some things you're going to see. And in chapter 1 of John, he says, you will see greater things than these. Than these meant that when Nathanael said, Jesus, how did you see what was going on in my life? And of course, Jesus sees everything. And Jesus says, truly I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In essence, you're going to be able to see things that you have never seen before. You're going to see inbreakings of the kingdom. You're going to see Jesus moves in the midst of this world in ways that you've never seen. And that's what happens when we get spiritual clarity. We're not just seeing from worldview ways. We're seeing from godly view ways. And one thing we talked about is that often we'll say hindsight is 20/20, but Jesus in the Bible is teaching us how to live foresight 20/20. He's showing us how to live. We don't have to live off of all of our mistakes. Okay? I think you probably know what I mean by that. I'm going to do better next time. We get to live forward and do it right the first time because Jesus shows us in the scriptures how to live in relationships, how to manage our resource, how to live for him, how to bring others to him, how to deal with our enemies, how to engage in conversations, what judging looks like, all those kind of things. Jesus helps us to live forward with clarity. And that's what we've been speaking of in the last 7 weeks, is what does that clarity look like? Last week, we began to take a look as we think about giving and we think about generosity. What does Jesus give us about clarity on generosity and giving? And what are treasures on earth look like? What do we need to know, and what does Jesus say so that we don't miss it? So last week we dug in a little bit on generosity, and we know that generosity and giving and finances is the second most talked about topic in all of Scripture, second to faith. Okay? So there's some issues going on if Jesus spent so much time talking about it, and you and I know the issues. So much about materialism can be our God, and the last thing God wants is for us to transplant him for materialism. The last thing he wants us to do is to walk away from him and lose heaven because we gain earth. So he wants us to understand how to keep that in perspective. Now, None of us are born generous. The first things we typically say are me, 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 me. It's about me. It's about my life. So if you didn't grow up learning generosity from your parents or learning generosity from other people, generosity can feel fearful. It feels like a subtraction to give. I have less. But what Jesus is turning around in the scriptures, and this is where we went last week, is it's a whole nother ballgame when we see it spiritually. The world says what you give is less you have. Jesus says when you plant the seed of first fruits for me, I open windows and doors and overflow cups. I abound in your life. So the gift I want you to understand that Jesus is saying, this is not Craig Bollinger, this is the Bible, this is what Jesus is saying, is that when you put him first, he opens doors for you can't imagine. And maybe that's never happened in your life. And I get that. Maybe you've never been at a place because you're eating the seed and the seed tastes good and you got enough seed for it to keep tasting good. But there's so much more when the seed is planted and it has a chance to come to harvest. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's what he means in Malachi. And that's what we talked about in the last couple weeks. I just want you to test it. I want you to get it because I want you to have everything that Jesus has for you. Don't hold back. Risk it. Show him. Show God and watch what will happen. Now, what we want to see is the inbreakings of the kingdom. And what does that begin to look like in your and my life? In the second part of this today, I want to talk about your savings account. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's the same thing that Marilyn, my wife Marilyn, thought when I said, I'm going to talk to him about the savings account. She said, what are you going to say after that? Because nobody wants you talking about the savings account. No one wants you messing with my stuff, right? Get it? I mean, we can laugh about it. It's real. I mean, don't mess with my stuff. That's mine. I earned it. I worked hard. I say, you know, what's the savings account about? Security, right? You know, we teach a lot at CDK about good financial stewardship. That we want you know what the number one killer in marriages is? Finances. I do more counseling with financial inabilities than ability. and it destroys people right and left. It changes priorities, it eats them up, and all kinds of things happen. And that's why Jesus talks so much about it. So we teach about it. We do Dave Ramsey series and others so we can get the financial thing right and what that looks like and what it means to save up and what it means to hold on to. So savings means oftentimes a sense of security. If we have no savings, we can feel insecure. Like, what am I going to do tomorrow? What if something happens? Of course, Jesus here is in the scriptures says, don't worry about tomorrow. I've got you, okay? But we live in a little bit of different culture. You know, we don't live in Burundi, Africa, where no one has a savings. They're having to live day to day like the early followers of God. Jesus, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, give us this day our daily bread, because that prayer came out of an era by which you need to depend on God every day. Well, there's a big point to that. We always have to ask the question, who am I really dependent on? Am I dependent on me or am I dependent on God? That's a very important question, because we're not going to get to heaven depending on you. We get to heaven depending on God. God does it. God gives it. It's God's grace. It's God's gift. So he's constantly teaching us this. And savings often means security, but it depends on where that security goes. When do we fall over the line? When do we cross the line? What does that look like? It also means treasure. My savings can be my treasure. You know, I can work really hard all my life because I want to store up my treasure. You know, I want to have enough treasure to be able to have more treasures. I want to have this treasure so I can buy this treasure. And our whole life can be about this treasure. So it's security and treasure. Now, woe be it to God to speak about our security and our treasure. But he does. And woe be it to me as a pastor if I never opened up to you what Jesus actually says about it in the scriptures, because it's really important. But I think there's a real breakthrough in what Jesus teaches about this for our lives to be abundant, a breakthrough. I've experienced it in my life. I want you to experience it in your life. But when I was diving in this text this week, it was convicting to me again. Okay, wait a minute. I need to reassess my treasure. Now, this passage that I want to share with you today, it comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And it's in Matthew 5 through 7. There's three chapters here where you kind of get the image. Jesus is gathered on a hillside. And there's the Sea of Galilee. And and the people have come up from the towns and villages. There's thousands of people that have gathered on this hillside. When I was in Israel with the folks last spring, and we were touring this area and trying to understand, we were standing on that same area where all these people would have gathered. And the sea's a little bit further out now after 2,000 years, a lot of silt, and the sea's moved and it's lowered. But the Sea of Galilee is like a bowl. And coming out of that bowl is a pretty steep hill in every area, but it makes for a natural amphitheater. So Jesus would have gathered on the top, and people were gathering around. He would preach, and people could hear him without microphones very clearly. And in Matthew 5 through 7 is some of the most significant scripture in all the Bible. And Jesus teaches in that section about how to live well in the world. It starts off with what's called the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he goes on, he begins to teach about marriage, and he teaches about judgment, and he teaches about how to deal with your enemies, and all these things that are just real life. And in that section, he has 11 times that he says, do not. Now, I always find that interesting, because when you hear the word do not, something gets elevated, right? Something gets elevated. So I want to read this text to you. We want to dive in. What does it mean that we need clarity on to live well in our world? So here we go. Matthew 6. It's in your outline. It's on your sheet. Be on the screen as well. But follow along. There may be some notes you want to take. And those are provided for you. It says this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Can you imagine how I hit them first? Here they're all coming up. And he opens up. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Immediately you're going, well, what are you talking about? He says, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Who among us doesn't lay up some treasures on earth? What's God talking about? Are we all in the wrong? And he goes to verse 20 and says, but lay up for, circle the word, yourselves, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So circle those two yourselves. Look at them very carefully. Why would Jesus say this? Don't store up for yourselves on earth. Store up for yourselves in heaven. You might ask the question, I never thought about it. I'm storing up something in heaven. So maybe you do your own biblical subtraction. Just take yourselves out of there. But you can't do that. It's there plain as day. You might wish it wasn't there. What does he mean? Why is he connecting my treasure on earth with my treasure in heaven? Why is it what I'm doing here matters for what I'm doing there? I thought I have salvation if I believe in Jesus Christ. You do. You get heaven. But what is he talking about? Why was this one of those, do not, but do this? I think there's three key things we want to understand to see clearly and to live well. One of them is just to heed the warning. Okay? Just to heed the warning. The warning's always in the do not. Now, there's lots of things that you get warnings on. How many of you raise kids out there? How many of you said do not more than 5 times? Yeah. Why? Because you don't want them hurting themselves, right? Do not do that. If you touch it, it'll burn you. Do not drive without your seatbelt. Why do you care, Mom? You want them coming back alive, right? It's because you love. And you got all these do nots, and they just roll out. There's more do nots than you can remember your do nots. But they're there because you have a deep love for someone to be able to do well. So when you hear a do not from Jesus, what do you think he's doing? He's wanting us to live well. There's something that he wants us to know, that if we do that thing he says do not, we're going to get our lives destroyed. And he knows something. And he wants us to understand it. And he doesn't want us to lose something else because of it. I remember when Steve and I were hiking out in Banff National Park, we got all kind of instructions. We met with the Rangers, and they gave us a map, and they said, you know, if you get lost, we're like, get lost, we're in the backcountry, how are we going to find ourselves? It says, just find a place where horses have walked. They always dig a trench, and you'll find the trench somewhere. So just walk around till you find the trench and follow the horse tracks. We eventually found out how difficult that was. But we remember the one big do not. Do not store your food near your tent. And it shows a grizzly bear eating a person. And we, there are grizzly bears out there. And when we got to the place, there were the highest things to tie your packs on I'd ever seen. You're cranking those things way up. And I'm thinking, okay, what if they smell me? That's the first time I've really cleaned out my pockets before going to bed. I made sure there's nothing around anywhere. But, I remember going hiking around the Grand Canyon. And if you've ever been out that way, they've got fences around it. And it says on the fences, do not what? Cross over. You know how many people die every year from crossing over those fences? I'm like, why? It says, do not cross over. You know, you see these power generating things there. They got the fences around them, what do you call them? The substations. And they got this sign that says, do not cross over the fence. And they've got a person going, electrocuted. I mean, they just don't want to be sued, but they really want you to live. Okay? So sometimes the do nots are there for a reason. And Jesus gives us a warning. He wants us to say, what's the warning? Jesus knows how materialism can suck the life out of you. Okay? That's the warning. Jesus knows how quickly something can become an idol. And it becomes so much of an idol that we obsess on it. We store it up. We long for it. Everything that all of our life becomes about this. And all of a sudden, God's about this. And we lose heaven. God knows that. And he just comes out boldly as he's talking to all those people. Do not store up. Store up means do not get consumed with everything that you're about on earth. In fact, he says in Matthew 6, he says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. He's pretty clear there, right? He's talking about the same thing. He's saying you're going to hate one or love the other. You can't live in a divided heart. You've tried to live divided. I've tried to live divided. I've tried to say, I can do this and still do that. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. Says you cannot serve God and your money. You might say, I can. I bet you I can. I know I can. No, you can't. Because Jesus said you can't. We can try it, but you can't. You can't live with a divided heart. You're either going to be over here or you're going to be over here. And Jesus makes a warning. He says, listen, I want you to choose the best. What does it mean to serve money? What does he even mean by that anyway? You can't serve God and money. To serve money means that all of your calculations and behaviors, your talents, your life, everything that you're about is to maximize materialism in the world. That's what it means to serve money. That this is your life's goal. My life's goal, everything that I'm about, I'm going to increase my skill. I'm going to increase my ability. I'm going to increase my income. I'm going to increase my thoughts. I'm going to increase my knowledge so that I can have more. That's serving money. That's what that means. What does it mean to serve God? You can't serve money and God. What does it mean to serve God? It means that all of your calculations about your talent, about your skill development, about your savings, about why you're investing better than you used to, why you're being a better steward of your resources than you did, all of your calculations are about how can I make a greater difference in the kingdom of God. That's what that means. So it's not about whether one's rich or poor. It's about what am I going to do with it for the kingdom or what am I going to do with it for me. That's what he's talking about. And when we get lost on the side by which it's all about us, we literally lose God. We forget God and we walk away from God. He gives us a warning. Do not. In fact, he shares a story in the scriptures. It's in Luke chapter 12. And he tells about a man. He says there was a man. He's a rich man. And he had good crops one year. and his crops were so good that he had to look and he said, man, everything's already full. I've already got all I need. I don't know what else I'm going to do with this. So I guess I'll waste some. I'm going to tear down these barns and I'm going to build some bigger ones so I can put all this stuff in it. And in that scripture reads like this, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And he simply ends with this. So it is for the one who lays up treasure for himself that is not rich toward God. It ends with that. He's not talking about whether he saved up or whether he had barns or whether he had any of this. He said the man wasn't rich toward God. You see, there was a shift. There was a warning. He was a fool because he got consumed with building all of this and was nothing about God. And when he died, he had nothing else. God doesn't want us to miss that. That's why he says, do not, is so strong in the midst of that passage. There's a second piece here, though. It's not just the warning, it's the priority. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. He says, this is the priority. Do this. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You see, we live on heaven, we live on earth, and we live for heaven. Okay? So while we're on earth, we're working as if we're in heaven, because that's what it means to be a child of God. As a child of God, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're never going to die. You simply move from this life to the next. You are already living your eternal life, and you're living in eternal nature. You're already living an eternal aspect of serving God and living for God in the midst of the world. That's who you are right now. And he's connecting those. He's saying, don't make all your investment, make a priority. Don't make all your investment for that which is here. It's going to go away. It's all going to go, but make your investment here for there, because it's not going to go away. He says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be given you. It's about a priority, isn't it? It's put this first, have this in its right place, and everything else will come to you. Now, I get it. If my priority is the world, and I'm hearing I need to change my priority, that's not an easy thing. You know, I get that. It's like if I've never learned generosity, and now I see someone who's generous and I want to be like that, it's a hard move. What Jesus isn't talking about here is that we're in a place by which, man, I got to do this. When Jesus was speaking about the kingdom, he talked about what that was like in your life and how it changed the priority of everyone's perspective. When he talked about it, he talked about it like the man who was a merchant of pearls. And he talks about that in the scriptures where he says there's a man whose job, everyday job, was worldly. And every day he got up and he wanted to increase his earthly treasures. And he went out and he search for pearls. And he would get more and more pearls, and his wealth would grow, and it was all about him. But one day, he found a really special pearl. He called it the pearl of great price. And when he found that pearl, he went and sold everything else that he had, all the other pearls, so he could have that one. Jesus simply says in the byline, the kingdom of heaven is like that. See, it's about a change that happens when our treasure becomes Jesus. And he tells another one about a farmer. He's going around everyday life. See, it's earth and heaven. It's earth and heaven. He's farming every day. He's providing for his family. He's eating the crops. He's eating the crops. He's selling some of the crops. He's growing his kingdom. He's building bigger barns. He's doing all this stuff. And one day, he's out in the field and he's working and he finds a treasure. And the treasure is so valuable, he goes and sells everything that he has and buys that field so he can have the treasure. And Jesus says, simply the byline, the kingdom of heaven is like that. You see, what Jesus is talking to him about, there's far more to life than we think. And And when the treasure's standing right before you, Jesus Christ, don't store up there. Store up here. The seeds you plant here produce fruit in heaven for you. Meryl and I were watching a movie called The Case for Christ. Some of you may be familiar with Lee Strobel. He was an editor for the Chicago Tribune, and he wrote the book Case for Christ. And now there's a little movie. It's on Netflix. I'd encourage you to go back this week and watch it. I don't get any credits for that. But it's a good movie. But Lee is going about everyday life. He's living for himself. He's an atheist. There's no trouble in his mind of being in two worlds. He's only in one world because you can't serve God and man. He's serving man purely. That's it. That's all he's about. He's going about his work every day, just like the farmer, just like the merchant of pearls. He's a writer. He's a good writer. He's done his work all the day, and then he begins a search. In that search, he finds a treasure. And that treasure becomes Jesus. And when he finds that treasure, I'll let you watch the story, but everything else fades away. And God provided in his household and among his family in unbelievable ways in changing the world. It's real stuff. It's not just Bible stories. It's your story and my story. And it becomes about priority. We see the story of those in Acts chapter 2, like in verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the bread, breaking of bread and to prayers. It says that the people gathered, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. It says all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and belongings and distributed to everyone who had need. They broke bread in their homes and attended the temple and worshiped together, and they praised God and had the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Hear the priority. It's beautiful in their lives. It looks a little bit like what we see on the wall. We live out in this community and in the world. But there's a third thing, I think, that opened my eyes to see. And that was purpose. Purpose. Jesus is saying to the people in the crowd, as he's saying to you and me through this text today, your life today matters. Often we can live like there's a disconnect between earth and heaven. We can kind of say, well, I just need to get through this life, and when I die, I'll go to heaven if I believe in Jesus Christ. But Jesus doesn't look at it like that, and he doesn't want us to look at it like that. What you do on earth matters. Can you imagine if this church was just a club and everything we did was just about us? That we had nothing going on about serving each other where there's need, or serving in the community, or serving the world, or planting more mission, or drawing more people to Jesus Christ. It's like it really doesn't matter. Here we're a church, but why, you know, I've often said, why would I want a pastor or something that doesn't matter? That'd be like a Christian living in the world and doing nothing for Jesus in the world. We belong to him. And what Jesus says clearly in the passage is that what we do on earth doesn't just impact earth, it impacts heaven. That when we're focused on raising our children on earth to know Jesus, it impacts heaven. When we're doing things on earth that are serving the kingdom of God with our time and our resources and our treasures, and they're all included, they're a united front, not one or the other, because what we don't do is one becomes our God. We pour it all out. It's all his. It changes earth and heaven. You see the difference? That's what Jesus is helping them to understand, that there's a connection, that what we do here really matters. Because we belong to him. And he called us his own. And he set us forth to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation and his own people. That is powerful. Jesus shared a story of the parable of the talents. And there was a master who had three servants, and servants would be us, and the master is God. And he gave to one 5 talents, and to one 2 talents, and to one, and that meant like a day's wage. And he told him to go about. He left, and that's like God leaving. It's like the time we're in now. And he left, and he said for them, go do what I would do. And the first one multiplied his talents. He poured it out. He planted the seed, and more fruit grew for the kingdom, what the master would want to do. And the second one did, and it grew, and it multiplied, and he did what the master wanted to do. And the third one took it, and he buried it. He literally stored up the treasure on earth. And the master returned. And for one who had 5, he gave even more. And he said, well done. To the one who had 4, he gave even more. And he said, well done. And to the one who just stored it up, he said, you fool. You see, Jesus wants us to understand. He gives us everything. He wants to open the windows and the doors and overflow the cups. And what we do on earth matters. And do not store up. Do not get obsessed with the things that are going to go away. Be obsessed with the things that are eternal. That's what he wants us to do. And I will pour out on you. That's awesome. That's a gift. And it's what I want you to know about Jesus. Take a look at this picture. Tell me what you see. I saw this the other day and it just struck me. What's it look like? Homeless man on a park bench. Look carefully at the feet. What do you see? The nail prints. This statue of Jesus has been sculpted and provided in 12 places around the world. This one happens to be by the Sea of Galilee. It's based off Matthew 25. It says, when have you seen me hungry or homeless or broken? Whatever you've done to the least of these, done to me. Treasures in heaven. It's real. What we do on earth matters. But we could ask another question. Why is Jesus homeless? Maybe because he's not in our home. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone would open the door, I will come and make my home there. And it becomes the pearl of great price. Becomes like the treasure that becomes the priority. And the do not goes away because of the joy. And we start seeing the world change. We see our church planting mission everywhere. In this community, knowing Jesus. That's what God stirred up in my heart. Why Marilyn and I pour ourselves out. This week, as I dove into this text again, I said, God, thank you for reminding me about the treasures in heaven. Help me to put all my treasures on earth at your feet. Good. I want you to take just a moment. If you're part of Christ the King, this is for you. If you're just visiting today, this is our time, this love month, by which we say, I want a plan for how I want God to use me powerfully in this church.
and through this church. And it's a pledge card. There's some in the back of the chair racks. You can pull those out. And we talked about it last week. Some of you may have brought yours today. And if you did, great. There's a couple things you can do. I just want you to pull them out and take a look. As I talked about last week, there's two areas that we give. One is to the general fund. That's all our ministry that we do. The second is we might pledge or give toward Act to Thrive, which is the community center and the children's restructure and how we're going to become the center hub of the care in this community around us. And you can give in those two areas. And it's powerful. It changes the world. So I want you just to spend a few moments and just pray. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to trust you? How do you want me to lay my treasures at your feet? How are you going to use me to be a conduit of your kingdom on earth? It's powerful. We'll give you just a moment, speak with your family, pray with your kids. And if you like, when we share in communion, you can bring that card forward and you can put it in the offering basket with your offering. There's also a really cool thing, and I tried it this morning, it works. A little QR code down there, you can see it on the screen as well. You can hold your phone, your picture. If you want to take a picture, just hold the picture piece over it, and it'll come up with a link. And if you hit that link, you can fill out the exact same card online. Isn't that cool? It works. I had to try it to believe it. I'm going to give you a few minutes and just pray. Just pray with each other, and I'll come up close with prayer. Father, for all the gifts and blessings that you give to us, we thank you. We thank you for revealing truth. We thank you for helping us to see with different eyes. Sometimes it seems to be so different from the world, it's hard to imagine. And you call us to a leap of faith, trust you in ways we may never have done before. Father, I praise you for this church. for every soul in these seats today, for those who could not be here, for the generosity that is shared that allows us to touch lives on four continents and change lives in this very community, see children come to know you and students follow you, adults grow deeper in a walk with you. So many facets that it means to be in your kingdom, Lord Jesus. We thank you we get to be a part of that, that our life here matters. May we learn to store up even more treasures in heaven as we lay ours down to your feet on earth. So, Father, may you honor every gift made today. For every pledge, for every offering, lands in these baskets. You consider each as you looked at the woman at the well, as you watched the woman put in the offering at the temple. May you honor it, for it's to your glory. We thank you for the blessing.